This podcast was recorded Thursday, February 27th at 10:31 a.m. Things may have changed by the time you hear this. Yeah, like President Trump will take credit for scaring away that meteor that was heading towards us. It did have a 3% chance of hitting Earth. Well, now it's basically 0%. So no Armageddon. We got that going for us. Let's talk politics. This is Snollygoster, WOSU Public Media's weekly look at Ohio politics and all those Snollygosters, those shrewd politicians who love to cut taxes, but hate making the cuts necessary to pay for those tax cuts. I'm Mike Thompson. Coming up in the podcast, our Snollygoster of the Week Award. They took all the drama out of it. But first,
I am honored to announce my candidacy to serve as the next governor of the state of Ohio.
Vivek Ramaswamy officially launched his run for governor this week with several rallies around the state. The wealthy entrepreneur who burst onto the scene in 2023 with his run for president now wants to succeed Mike DeWine. In his announcement, Ramaswamy promised to govern Ohio as a new generation conservative, bringing a hatchet to regulatory red tape and not just cutting taxes, but eliminating taxes.
We're not like California. We don't need to do a U-turn. We're headed broadly in the right direction, but we need to step on the gas. We need to bring down the income tax, eventually down to zero, because you deserve to keep what you earn. It is your money, not the government's. We need to bring down property taxes in this state immediately, eventually down to zero. If you own land, it should not feel like it's a lease from the government. And yet so many Ohioans are paying as much in property taxes as they are on principal repayments on their mortgage. That is wrong, it is un-American, and it will end one way or another on my watch as your next governor.
Ramaswamy did not mention how he would make up for the money that makes up about 40% of the state budget. Details. Soon after that speech, Ramaswamy got what other candidates have worked hard for. He got the immediate endorsement of President Trump, which, as of now, is a huge advantage over his other major Republican opponent, Attorney General Dave Yost. Joining us to discuss what Ramaswamy brings to the campaign is veteran political observer and Republican strategist Terry Casey. Terry, welcome back to Snollygoster.
Glad to be here.
Vivek has the Trump endorsement. Race is over, right?
No, it's not over because there's 14 months till the May of 26 primary, and I predict maybe a meteor won't hit the United States or our globe, but there's going to be lots of twists and turns, and one of the biggest twists and turns, actually, it's like a double-barreled shotgun. It's both the state budget and the federal budget. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of turmoil, a lot of changes, a lot of challenges, because particularly at the state level between now and July 1st, they don't have the COVID money. They're going to be watching closely sales tax revenue, income tax revenue is how much are people working overtime, how much do they pay into the state. So there could be some revenue and or spending problems. And then the federal budget is an even bigger twisted mystery tale.
Yeah.
What's going to happen like with Medicaid, which is one of the big expenses in the state budget, highly dependent upon how much the federal spigot spits out or not.
So basically, is Vivek's success tied to how Donald Trump does these next 2 years?
That's part of it. But having watched the full video, both of his announcement speech in Cincinnati area and here in the Columbus area, he was fairly careful not to overpromise and overhype. I mean, certainly we all would like lower income taxes and property taxes, but doing that in the real world where a state government doesn't have a printing press or a Federal Reserve to issue lots of paper money, et cetera, you've got to do it in real terms like most businesses and households do.
Looking at his style, Terry, I watched the Cincinnati rally, and he's impressive. He's got a lot of energy. He is dynamic. He's young. He presents stylistically a very different picture than Dave Yost on the Republican side. Frankly, a very different picture than anybody who has thought about running for governor, Democrat or Republican right now.
Yes, you summarize it well. He's very impressive because I noticed there was no teleprompter there he was reading off of, no script in front of him that he was reading off word by word. And then I also watched, like, Colleen Marshall's interview this past week, 20 minutes with him, and Colleen asked some good hard questions, and he was ready and prepared accordingly. So it's good that from when this campaign looked like it was going to launch in January, he took some time to dig in deeper on the issues. I know some of the people close to him, and they've made sure he's prepared correctly. And again, when a guy is a valedictorian of his class in Cincinnati, the top school he graduated high school from, went to Harvard, went to Yale Law School, there's clearly brain power there, and I think he understands some of the differences between running for senator, where you can make speeches and just do interviews on Fox News, versus being governor. It's about the details, the specifics, they matter.
Let's talk about some of those specifics. You said he didn't overpromise or overhype, but I would suggest that perhaps promising to eliminate the income tax and the property tax might be a bit of an overpromise, Terry. Wouldn't you think so?
Well, he was getting close to the line, and I think he pulled back because when he spoke in Columbus area after Cincinnati, he didn't promise to wipe out the property tax.
So he's a flip-flopper already, Terry. He's a flip-flopper.
Well, aspirationally, I mean, to do things is good. How you do it and how you explain it is important.
But realistically, I mean, there's no way the state can eliminate both. I mean, some states do not have an income tax. Florida does not have an income tax. Texas does not have an income tax. They do it, but it would be really hard to do that here.
Well,
in Ohio,
it would be very hard. And Florida has tourism, which fuels their sales tax revenue. Texas has a lot of oil revenue. Those are exceptions. You can do it, but then you've got to do a lot of other tax hikes on the margins. Example, the sales tax. To do a big, big cut and dramatically in the property tax, you might have to have a 15% sales tax, which would be unacceptable. Or do you take away some of the exemptions on the sales tax, like on food and prescriptions and things like that? So it's possible to reduce those much more, but what you have to do might be more painful. So
yeah, it's also that's much more regressive because a 15% sales tax affects, you know, somebody on the lower income schedule than someone of a higher income.
Yeah, no, there's ways to do things, but the reality is people also want the roads repaired. They want the prisons operated. They want the local schools and universities to get money because an awful lot of the state budget is merely transfer money, either to hospitals or doctors with Medicaid or, again, schools, universities, local communities, libraries, et cetera.
Yeah, doing away with property taxes. He wants to really improve education in Ohio, and for good or for bad, property taxes fund education in this state, and eliminating property taxes would have to really upend how we pay for schools here.
Well, the state does provide, dependent upon the district, depending upon how rich the district is, some local of the 600 districts in Ohio. Some are getting 70, 80, 90% of the money from the state. Some in higher income areas like in Upper Arlington, Olentangy, are only getting 10 or 15%. So the state share varies because we do have Robin Hood.
Yeah. Let's get to Dave Yost. This is what he sent out a statement after Ramaswamy announced his candidacy. He writes, quote, "I welcome Mr. Ramaswamy to the race for however long he sticks around. We'll see if he actually stays in. Mr. Ramaswamy quit on President Trump and Doge on day one. He quit on Ohio and moved his company to Texas. And he quit his presidential campaign after a devastating fourth place finish in Iowa." So what do you make of that strategy, Terry? Is he saying that Ramaswamy is a carpetbagger? Is that his strategy?
Well, he's not a carpetbagger because obviously he grew up in Cincinnati, lives in the Columbus area right now, etc. Dave Yost has got to do what he's kind of got to do. But again, it's a long time, 14 months to go. I've known Dave Yost going back to 1980s when he worked for the now defunct Columbus Citizen Journal as a journalist. Mm-hmm. So I've known Dave for a long time, stay in touch with him, have met with him recently. And people forget he's age 68. So he's more flexible than, say, a younger politician that's 48 or 53. And I think he's willing to stick at it, roll the dice, see what happens, because something magically could happen that might change things in these 14 months till the May primary.
It is a long time. But the age thing is going to be a factor. We talked about Ramaswamy's style. Ramaswamy took slight digs at Mike DeWine and his administration, said that Ohio's on the right path but needs to be more bold. And that's what he's going to offer, a bold alternative to Dave Yost as part of the establishment. Where do Ohio Republicans stand on that, do you think?
Well, with Republicans, like the voters in general, there's a lot of diversity. There's a lot of so-called courthouse Republicans out in rural and medium-sized counties like Coshocton County, where I grew up, and they look at things a little different than some of the people who are not as connected with government or business and that type of thing. So the American public is somewhat torn because, in a way, they don't like the status quo. They're unhappy with it. They want change. But on the other hand, they don't want change that goes too far. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if Ramaswamy can strike the right balance. But there is an age generational contrast, and clearly that added energy can be a plus, particularly in the general election.
Is this primary good for Ohio Republicans, or is it threatened to divide the party? Because it will be a midterm election that tends to favor the party that's not in the White House. We don't know who the Democratic candidate's going to be yet. But if these two guys go head-to-head, and we've already seen negative ads, mailers sent out by, we assume, supporters of Dave Yost, you know, criticizing Ramaswamy for his stance on transgender issues. If it's really nasty primary, does that hurt Ohio Republicans here?
Well, I think there'll be a primary. It'll be competitive, but I think it'll also be reasonably issue focused and not get quite as personal and nasty, because Yost has got a certain amount of money raised. He'll raise more, but he's not going to have unlimited millions and millions. And again, I think it'll stay focused more on the issues, because there's a lot of issues to kick around and talk about.
Do you think both men make it all the way to the primary, or does one person leave and seek another office, or maybe gets a job in the Trump administration?
Anything could happen. That's what makes politics interesting. But I think, in a way, what's good for the Republican Party is you've got a couple very articulate, knowledgeable people coming in different directions, wanting to go maybe a little different in where they head. But it could be healthy, because it could make Ramaswamy a better candidate, because he's got to learn to connect. And he promised in his speech about visiting all 88 counties this year as well as next year. So as you reach out and see Ohio's diversity, because people sit here in Columbus and think we're the center of the universe and everything revolves around Central Ohio, but this is a diverse state with a lot of varied interests. And just think of Cincinnati versus Cleveland. They're similar big cities. They got pro sports, but Cincinnati and Cleveland, in terms of their outlook and interests, are very different. And politically, they operate very differently too.
Absolutely. You know, that was one of the thoughts or questions about Ramaswamy, is would he do the work? You know, John Kasich, when he ran for governor, he did the work. I think people at first weren't so sure he would be a strong candidate, but he went to all those Lincoln dinners and visited all those counties. And, you know, the criticisms for J.D. Vance was he didn't do as much work, but Ramaswamy seems to, at least he says he's going to do the work.
Well, and Ramaswamy's got some key Kasich people around him, mm-hmm. who understand about the work. And I think he got a sample of it when he ran out in Iowa about how you got to connect with people. You just can't, again, do it all from interviews on Fox News. You got to be out there in the counties. And when you get into the counties, southeastern Ohio is a good example. It is kind of ruralish, but because of the highways and the twisted roads, each county tends to be its own little world.
Yeah.
And it has its own little issues, whether it's Gallia County or Morgan County or Belmont County. Each one has its character and leaders and people, and they tend to be fairly locally focused. And Cincinnati's obviously had an image of being somewhat parochial in its outlook of things. I think the old saying goes, if the apocalypse comes, I want to be in Cincinnati because it's always 20 years behind the times.
What does Dave Yost have to do? Does he have to wait for the buzz to fade for Ramaswamy? What does he have to do to convince Ohioans he is the choice to be the next governor?
Well, right now he just needs to, and he has the opportunity as attorney general to get a lot of media coverage to keep working away. But this is like, there are things in track and field that are sprints, and then there are things that are long distance runs. Mm-hmm. This is a long distance run, and people are going to be looking and seeing it. Who's working how hard? How, as the budget at state and federal evolve, how do the candidates respond? What do they say? Because again, Ohio's got to operate on a balanced budget. They've got no other choice, no printing press. So it'll be a good chance to see how people respond and deal with the issues as they pop up.
Yeah, and I'm sure the media and sort of opposition research on both of these candidates will be surfacing things in their background that there'll be questions about. So that'll be to come as well. Terry Casey, Republican strategist, longtime political observer. Thanks for joining us here on Snollygoster.
Glad to be here. Fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a fun ride.
Indeed. Thanks, Terry.
Bye.
We'll be right back.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.
Time now for our Snollygoster of the Week segment, where we honor the shrewdest politician or political move of the past 7 days. Well, this week we have to give it to Vivek Ramaswamy. He got the Trump endorsement right off the bat. That means his competitors don't have to fall all over themselves for months trying to win that coveted endorsement. And we political observers don't have to analyze every one of those moves to see if it will win the Trump endorsement. It's done. It's over. Vivek has it. And now we can move on. So for that, we're very thankful. And for that, Vivek Ramaswamy gets our Snollygoster of the Week award. Programming update. We will be off next week. I'm going on vacation. I'm going to see the Gulf of America firsthand, see if it's changed since it's renamed. I'll report back. Anyway, that will do it for this week's edition of Snollygoster, which is part of the NPR network. As always, please to be sure to leave us a good review on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, and just tell your friends about us. For our stream producer, Katie Genius, our digital producer, Michael DeBonis, and our audio engineer, Dalton Jones, I'm Mike Thompson for Snollygoster from WOSU Public Media.